You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
AI is incredible. It can teach you how to fry an egg and even write a poem, pirate style. Yarr! But it knows nothing about your work. Slackbot is different. It doesn't just know the facts. It knows your schedule. It can turn a brainstorm into a brief. And it doesn't need to be taught. Because Slackbot isn't just another AI. It's AI that knows your work as well as you do. Visit slack.com/meet Slackbot to learn more.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the How to Hunt Deer podcast. We are smack dab in the middle of October, and Jason, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not doing too bad. You know, it was a wet drive home the other night from the game. We actually got quite a bit of rain here at my place, which was good. We needed it. But now, you know, for me, we kind of get into that time of year where it's going to get cold, it's going to get wet, the ground's going to freeze up, and my days are numbered for working, so...
Yeah. We got a man. The last time we actually saw each other in person was
2021.
Yeah. 2021, that Nebraska trip. Yeah. And then you decided to have a little, I guess you'd call it maybe like a date night. You and the wife went to the Iowa football game. Hey dude, at least you showed up for a good game, like a last second type. Did you stay for the whole thing?
Yeah, we did. Well, I mean, we got up out of our seats with like a minute left, but it was still packed at that point. You know, people were just starting to get out of their seats, but no, it was a really good game. So,
yeah. And to all the guys out there in Pennsylvania, suck it. Go Hawks, baby. Yep.
Hey, that's pretty cool with the Children's Hospital next door and stuff like that. Yeah. That's real cool. So.
Yeah, that's pretty badass, man. Yeah. Dude, did you see the snipers on the roofs of the buildings?
Yeah, so when we finally got sat down, I was able to actually like zoom in with my phone. And I mean, there was two of them. They just kept pacing back and forth. And the one guy had binoculars and everything. So, I mean, it was legit.
Yeah, I don't understand why they were there. I'm guessing for some guy is like, yeah, that's a counter sniper. I don't know what that means, really, other than something bad happens. And then that guy starts firing into
the crowd,
crowds looking for bad guys, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Like, imagine like, I don't know. Anyway, that's crazy. Like, in this day and age, there's snipers on the roofs of buildings at big events.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, I don't want to say it's funny, but you know, I meet up with you at the trailer there and you're like, oh, there's a sniper up there. And we were walking around. We had no clue he was there. I mean, thousands of people had no clue that the guys were up there, but.
Yep. Yeah. And so, what we were doing in this trailer is there's a company who owns all of the, I guess you would say he owns all of the, apparel in and outside of the stadium. He owns that company. And then I'm guessing the university leases some spots to him or the football stadium. Or I don't even know. I'm guessing the university says, okay, you give us rent and then you can have this much, you know, you can get all these spots. Right. Well, anyway, he does that. But what he also does is he lets guys like me come in and work that tent. And then not only did I get $100 for me being there, but all the volunteers. So we had 8 volunteers equals $800. And then we got a kickback of a certain percentage of the apparel that sold. And that's all going for fundraising for our youth sports. So my boys baseball team. Yeah. And so then we do a couple of those games and hopefully that gets us enough money to do a couple tournaments, you know, pay for a couple tournaments, and it's, we're all good to go.
Cool.
Yep.
So,
what's going on?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where we're at, I guess, right?
Let's do the commercials quick.
I was just going to say that.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we got Code Blue Sense. My favorite, honestly, hands down, is the Rope-A-Dope system. That's I pair that with a trail camera, and it works awesome. I have been using a lot of their detergents and stuff like that. So
same.
Probably going to just switch to just one company with that. We do have a discount code for them. It's HTH20.
And that's 20% off. But taking a step back, let's see if I can find it here real quick. But dude, it's not every day now. There was a big flare up. Mm-hmm. And they were hitting my mock scrapes, I would say like 10 days ago, they were hitting my mock scrapes hard.
Yep.
And then there was a period where they didn't. And now it's like every other day, every 3 days, I got a buck on my reveal. That's like, they're hitting that Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit. And you know, when I had some hesitancy, I guess you would say, about putting a giant blue rope on some field edge or in the middle of the timber, but I don't think it bothers them any.
No, I don't think so either. And to that point, I have just regular like rope, you know, regular tan colored ropes, and I can't see a difference in the color. So I don't feel like that's a hindrance or anything.
Yep. I can't find the picture anyway. So codebluesense.com, discount code HTH20 for 20% off. What's the next one?
We got Muddy DV8, and they have an Ambush series, and I've checked it out a little bit, and I'm pretty intrigued by it. And they have the Bottomland camo, which has obviously made its comeback for a few years now. So
it's trendy. It's the old school patterns are starting to be trendy, and I think camo patterns are nice. And I think for turkey hunting, it's probably a necessity. I think for ground hunting, it plays a little bit more of a role. But I think what we're starting to see is camo patterns have less of an impact on hunting than what people think, right? I mean, some people kind of treat it like a fashion show of sorts. And then as guys like us know, it has nothing to do with fashion and everything to do with being comfortable.
In the tree. Comfort. Comfort's probably the number one thing. I mean, if a guy's going to be comfortable in his gear, he's going to sit there longer and have more success just mentally right there being prepared. So
absolutely. So go to gomuddy.com and then you need to click on the footwear and apparel line and check out the new Ambush series of the, I guess it's the DV8 series and the Ambush base layers and pants and shells and insulation layers and all that stuff. So there's that. All right, dude, it's cold this morning. It is cold this morning. We got a major rain event that came through over the past couple days. I didn't necessarily see an uptick in trail camera photos right away.
No.
But I will say that based off of the trail cameras, there's no lull, buddy. Like there's no October lull. What did you see?
I just pulled up mine right now and I'm just looking at my cell cams and I've got the same amount of movement that I had a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago. I've got a couple bucks that are kind of starting to become a little more regular, you know, so it's not like there was a die off because we hit the middle of October. I will say I took two of my kids last night. It was kind of my daughter's turn to go out. And with the, we had a high wind yesterday. So we elected to sit in the box blind again, especially for three of us, it's easier to sit. And we walked in, we saw some turkeys right away. And then we sat there and we didn't end up seeing anything. And now on our walk out, You know, so in front of us is a green food, fall food plot. To further up to the left and further down to the right is standing corn. And then straight out in front of us, probably 35, 40 yards, is the neighbor's standing corn yet. And yep. when we were walking out, lo and behold, the deer are in the corn. So, you know, right. cooler night, I kind of expect them to go to eating grain. Mm-hmm. I did kind of anticipate we would see something last night, but lo and behold, we didn't see anything, and we kind of wrapped it up underneath, you know, a high wind. It died down. It got nice and cool, and the kids just had fun. So, I mean, but to that point, back with the trail cameras, you know, from what I'm seeing there, it hasn't died there. And actually, while we were in the stand, my wife texted me and said, hey, there's a big buck that just went, you know, east side of the pond, which we can see from our kitchen window. And she says, I've never seen that buck. And I said, well, hopefully he shows up on camera. I can see what he is. So there was that. And then when we were heading home, my daughter said, hey, there's a buck by the road, you know. And so, I mean, they are moving.
Yes. Yes. All right. I want to talk about a little bit about my observation. We talked a little bit about this, what I believe it was this summer. We talked about, you know, being like, if you share property with another group of hunters, or if you're being like, you're talking with your neighbors and being, you know, upfront about what you're seeing on your property. And then hopefully that loosens them up just a little bit to share information with you. I didn't used to be like this. And it wasn't until I kind of changed my thoughts on how I am as a hunter, not necessarily giving a shit about big bucks all the time and hiding and making it secretive and stuff. I've really been in more communication with the other guys that hunt the properties, that the property that I do, talking to them about what bucks are on camera.
Right.
And I shared 3 of the biggest bucks that I have on camera with them this past weekend. And I'm just like, not this year so far, but the last 3 years, we had this gigantic buck on trail camera. Like 2 years, he was a booner. We never connected with him. We saw him, but didn't connect with him. Last year, he was this, I don't know, something must have happened to him. He was a gigantic, he had a main beam with a little crab claw at the end, a gigantic G2, and then a brow tine. And then his other side was this like freaky 8-point side. Okay.
Yep.
And he was this old mature buck. I think I told the story about when I rattled at him one day, he came in, but the horse that's on the farm also came into the timber.
Yep.
And yeah, so the horse kind of didn't necessarily spook him, but he didn't come in close to where I was at. Anyway, long story short, I shared that with him, and then he shared where he's seen some of these deer as well. So now he knows, and I know that there are good deer on that property to hunt. All right. A couple 4-year-olds. I think one of them might be 5 or older. We don't have any mega bucks this year. I don't have any mega bucks on any of the farms. And when I mean mega, I mean like north of 160.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got one buck on a different farm that might go like 150, 155 ish. He's a really good 10 with a split brow on his left side. And so that buck is in the area. Outside of that, I'm running way less trail cameras this year than I have in the past. And this weekend when I go down, or actually tomorrow night, I'm going hunting. All right. I got a northwest wind. I'm going to go into a really good spot, and it's a mission. It's one mission. And that mission is to hang a trail camera, in the river bottom there. So it's not a cell cam. It's a river bottom cam, a regular trail camera with an SD card that I'm going to have to put up. And I'm going in there for that. But while I went in, I might as well hunt, because in the past, somewhere around this October 20th to 27th time frame, there's a big buck that shows up in this river bottom, and he's a gigantic 10 pointer. And so I don't know, it's worth it to me to get a trail camera in there and hunt early. The crops are out now on the farm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we talked about that last, but
no.
between now and then, all the corn on the farm is gone.
Okay.
So now what's going to happen is they're going to move cattle into these into these cornfields, which is going to pinch all of the deer down into the timber fingers and pastures. And it's going to make it just what it does is it makes it a little easier to pattern these deer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
they're not walking through it. So that's kind of a heads up what's going on my main farm. Now, what's going on my other farm, dude, other than just some trail camera pictures of some random deer that show up, I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Lots of does,
and that makes me happy. You know me.
Yep.
I find the does. I'm happy, man.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's kind of what you look for this time of year. You know, they start ramping up, and the does are going to indicate, you know, when you really need to be in there. I mean, you're going to start seeing does hit these scrapes and stuff too. So I would say I kind of seeing the same stuff. Both of my main farms, they're smaller, but the crops are still standing by them. The big farm, half of it, I would say, is picked, and it was in beans. And then the other half, I don't think they've even touched the corn yet on that. So, and that property is a little a little goofy anyways, because it's like sometimes it hunts good with beans to the south, which is what it is this year. And they stick around for that warmer season down there, but then they'll shift right out of there. And then it's almost like they don't go to the north where the corn's at, but they actually go to the south where the neighbor's property is. And so that one's a little bit of a challenge to hunt. But for me, I've always looked at, you know, the 25th of October is, you know, I might start throwing in a morning hunt, and I know pretty much by then what bucks are going to be in the area. One thing I want to touch on that you were talking about was with the neighbors, sharing information with the neighbors. You know, it took me a long time to realize that it's actually beneficial to do some of that stuff. And we got a couple pretty good neighbors that we've become friends with, and we exchange pictures and stuff. And I realized that, you know, instead of like hiding those pictures from my neighbor or hiding that intel from my neighbor, that it's actually beneficial to show him, because first off, he's going to give me something back in return. But then also you can get on that same page of like, okay, hey, you know, this is a good buck, you know, it'd be cool to see him next year potentially. But the other thing of it is that really kind of got me more so this past season was when I'd lost my buck and I had to meet one of the neighbors on one of these farms that I'd never met in 13 years, was the relationship that we established from there. And we've stayed in contact from last fall till now, sharing pictures, sharing, you know, what deer's back and so on and so forth. But the excitement that he had when we found my deer was just amazing. You know, and I think that's one thing we kind of get away from with just hunting in general, is there's so much envy and so much jealousy that I think we could actually use this as a benefit to be happy for each other. You know, hey, Dan, you're my neighbor and you shoot this 170 inch 10 point I've seen for 2 years. I might have a couple sheds. I'm going to give you the sheds. I'm going to give you pictures I got of it. And I'm just going to be ecstatic for you and just be genuine and happy for you. Because I think at the end of the day, not just as hunters, but as people, we find so much that we want to just be envy or jealous of. And there's so much hate in this world that, man, we could just spread this. I don't know. I think we could go down so many rabbit holes with that too, but.
Yep. I agree 100%, man. I agree. I used to not be like that. And now I'm just like, dude, any information is good information. And the name of the game is if a buck has reached its peak. And so for us, it's different, right? Because we don't manage the farm that I'm talking about. It's just a place to go hunt, right? And so we don't manage it. There's kids on four-wheelers all over the place. There's horses there. There's livestock there. There's farmers there. And it just tends to, it's just in a good location that holds decent deer movement, right?
Right.
And so what I mean by what I'm getting at here is it is very rare to get a deer to 150 inches, especially even in Iowa, man, like even in Iowa. And so if I shoot it or another guy shoots it, then that's what needs to happen, man. We want to, we want to shoot these deer at the, in their prime, if possible. Right. Mm. We don't want to shoot a 3 year old. I mean, I don't care. I'm shooting whatever I want. They're going to shoot whatever I want. But if we're sharing information, the only thing it's going to do is allow us to get deer from 3 year olds to 4 year olds. really, that 1 year. And you know just as well as I do what happens from 3 to 4.
Oh, a lot. Right?
Yeah, a lot. And so if a deer feels comfortable and he gets passed in certain areas, he's going to come back to those areas, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the next, you know, in the handful of years. Outside of that, man, I just find more benefit sharing information with these guys than withholding it from them. And then they share information with me, like, hey, did you see the people on the four-wheeler? Okay. Did you see the crops are out? Yes. Whose truck is this? I don't know whose truck this is. Do you know whose truck this is? No, I don't. Right. And so it kind of is what it is.
Well, I mean, we kind of go back to the introducing your kids, you know, and then having them like take the rungs of the ladder and go with that. You know, my daughter and I had this conversation this weekend because, you know, she's shot a turkey and she shot a nice 8-point and stuff. And she says, well, Dad, what's next for me? You know, and I was hesitant on how I wanted to respond to it because, you know, obviously I'd love to see her shoot another buck, you know, mm-hmm. but if she wants to shoot a doe, obviously I'm good with that. Shoot a doe, tag the doe, and then let's go after a buck. But there's this one on this property I've been taking the kids to. So we own it and we kind of, I don't want to say manage it, but we put food plots in and stuff. We make it so that it's enjoyable for kids and stuff to come out and see deer. And there's this one deer that's 135 to 140 inch. He's a 10 point, but he's the most regular deer on the property. I mean, by far. There's some other small ones, but they're just not as frequent as he is. And she says, well, what about him, Dad? And I said, I mean, honestly, you've taken a couple steps up already. You know, if he walks out in the field, I'm going to be happy that you shoot him, you know, and then there's a flip to that, you know, because if say it was my neighbor that has this 135, 140 inch 10 point, you know, I'd like to see him shoot it, obviously, but there's part of me that's like, well, if he walks out in front of me, I'm probably passing him.
Right.
You know, so I kind of go back and forth with it, but I think the thing of it is at the end of the day, just be happy for the person, the kid, the whoever, your neighbor, if they take that deer, even if it's something you think you're going to be able to manage, these are wild animals. I mean, you can only manage to a certain extent.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I want to talk a little bit about sign popping up. The big rubs that I have historically seen over the course of my life have started happening. Like if I was to go, you know, obviously rubs and scrapes, the National Deer Association has a graph that kind of shows the increase, the peaks and valleys of when sign making happens. But I don't know where what I'm about to say correlates with that, but I will say this, the big rubs, like when I go into a area, let's say if I was hunting this, I'm going to talk specifically about this one river bottom stand that I'm going to go to tomorrow night. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I walk in there on the first 15 days of October, there is never any scrapes in this area. They're only last year's, right? And if they are, they're very tiny. But there's a group of trees that they hit every year and they shred every year. Okay. And so I'm going to walk in there on Tuesday night and I don't want to say I'm going to guarantee it. Okay. We'll talk about this next week.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, there's probably going to be a gigantic rub. And if it's not there when I walk in the next 5 days, there's going to be a gigantic rub on one of these trees.
Yep.
Whether it is the core area of that buck or it's in his area of cruising. When I mean core area, I mean where he feels the most comfortable bedding, not where he's going to be looking for does. Dude, I feel like first time in tomorrow night. The last time I went into this stand, I kicked 2 mature bucks out of that stand in a matter of, like, when I walked in, my scent got a little goofy. I got too far away from my stand because I kind of looped around. I shouldn't have looped around. I should have straight lined it. My scent got in and I think he was bedding really close. He either caught me climbing the tree or he caught me, my scent. And he busted out of there. Great buck. And then later that night, another buck kind of came through that area and I don't know. I just wasn't ready to pull the trigger on him yet. With that said, like, the sign is going to kind of tell the story for you if you let it.
Sure.
Right? Whether it's rubs, if a giant rub appears, it means a deer used to be there, right? Mm-hmm. A deer was there. So that's past tense.
Right.
But it also tells you this is the travel corridor for that deer. A deer is going to come back through here at some point in his, you know, in his deal. Yeah. And so it's a good spot. Like if a giant rub pops up and it's matched with a giant big old scrape, dude, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a good spot.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good spot.
Well, I think, so I'll expand off of it from what I feel on those things. And to me, like the gigantic rubs, you know, I would call that like a signpost rub, you know, year in and year out, deer use that same tree, that same tree, that same tree. It's kind of like a bedding area, you know, they're comfortable in there. So they're going to use that area. Same thing with like a hub scrape. Deer use it every year, every single year. They use it pretty much year round. Now, what I look for off of that signpost rub or that hub scrape is the micro scrapes or the micro rubs. And once you get in that vicinity, then you'll start to be able to dissect, okay, now they're moving this way. Because they branch off. That's what changes for me each year to year. They might be heading a little bit more west than they were north last year. You know, they might be taking a different trail because of timber harvest or because of food. And once you dissect those little micro rubs or those micro scrapes, I think you can pinpoint this year compared to previous years.
Yep.
A good spot is a good spot, and it's going to hold deer year in and year out. Same with the rubs, same with the scrapes. You know, they're going to generate off of those main focal points, and then they're going to create their own destinations off of that. So like for me, a couple weeks ago when I went out, I saw some fresh scrapes, and I kind of take like the palm of your hand and there's the hub scrape. And then off of that hub scrape, you have all these micro scrapes and they're all just branched out in fingers. It's kind of like trail camera data. When you can draw all the lines on a map and pinpoint where that deer's at, you know, you'll be able to narrow it down.
Yeah. I've heard the term hub scrape before, right? But it's something that I've only seen a couple times in my entire career of hunting, right? A gigantic scrape that every deer hits. It's like this big community scrape, hub scrape, whatever you're talking about. I only know of one active hub scrape right now on all of the farms that I hunt, and it has 100% to do with thermal drop.
Yep.
Like in the mornings or in the afternoons, as soon as the sun goes down, they'll funnel into this area because the thermals are all dropping down into this one area.
Yep.
And that's why that scrape is there.
Yep.
Okay. And then in the mornings, once the sun comes up, the thermals are shifting and they're kind of pulling up a little bit. I do see deer above the scrape and elevation thermals, and they can come down and kind of scent check that scrape without even visiting it.
Yep.
And in like the peak of the rut.
Yep.
But other than that, I've never found more like a ton of like these big open all year round scrapes. One that I know of.
Yeah, we have a few of them. And basically, I look at it like it's the center of a wheel, and then everything off of there is spokes, you know. So where the spokes go, I mean, that's what I'm focusing in on this year. So, you know, if I have another micro scrape that's 10 to 30 yards off of that, or if I see a line of rubs heading in direction, I mean, that's where I'm going to probably spend more of my time. Because like you're saying, you know, a lot of these, they are thermal areas that these scrapes are created in, because deer feel safe in them, and deer can collect all the intel that they need to feel safe. Like I said earlier too, a good spot is a good spot, and that's why that scrape is there. So
absolutely. Okay. So we talked a little bit about rubs. I don't know, man, rub lines are interesting to me. I've never been a guy who's like, oh, look at, I'm walking up this ridge and I'm here because of rubs. I don't feel like I've ever made a decision because of rubs. I have made a decision off what could be really fresh scrapes.
Yes.
Scrapes that are opened up to the point where they're even wet. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. From when the deer pissed in them, or the last deer pissed in them. So that tells me a deer is close, but rubs are harder to judge that way. And I've never really sat up on a rub line per se. I've sat there and noticed a rub line when I go in because of what's in the area.
Right.
Like the terrain that the rub lines are usually in, and that's why I set up there. But what about you? Do you rubs play a role in where you're setting up?
Yeah, so rubs, I tried hunting the rub lines years and years ago. You know, I was infatuated with rubs and what deer could do to trees and everything, and it was cool to put the lines together, like, oh, here's a rub line, I'm going to set up downwind, blah, blah, blah.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed-sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I think the where I use the rubs now is just if they coincide with the scrapes, the fresh scrapes. You know, if you have a pocket of a cluster of rubs, that might be a good indication that you have you're close to a buck bed. There's lots that you can use with that. But my focal point, as far as like, especially this time of year, is I'm hunting in and around those scrapes, especially when they start to go fresh. You know that the does are in them, and you know as soon as the doe comes in estrus, you know that the bucks are going to follow. So it's just putting in your time and dissecting which one is the most active, and then being in the right, you know, wind direction for that spot.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, let's say no kids, no wife, you're going out every day this week. What's the goal?
The wind is awful every day this week. Today, tomorrow.
Are we talking high levels of wind, like velocities high?
Yeah. Yes. So I was looking yesterday, and I think today, tomorrow, and maybe even into Wednesday morning, it's going to be pretty high winds. And it's not that I'm not a fan of hunting the high winds. I like to hunt a sustained wind. I don't like calm. I don't like, you know, swirling winds. But to me, I'm going to definitely be focused in on, is there any wet weather front coming in? Because it's still a little early to me. You know, I know there's bucks moving. I know there's does that are close coming into estrus. But my focus would be just playing that wind as smart as I can, because I don't want to booger an area up, because I know that the next 2 to 3 weeks are going to be some of the best hunting all year. So my goal for this week personally without hunting every day is I'm looking at Friday. Friday looks like a pretty good day for me with my schedule. And I think Friday afternoon, I'm going to try to slip out. And now I mean, Friday's already going to be, what, the 24th, 5th, something like that. Yep. 24th. So I think it's going to be that pre-rut. We're getting into that early pre-rut into that 24th there, that if I get the right wind, especially for this 50 acre piece that I got, I know that there's a half a dozen to 10 different bucks that'll come through that area, because I know that there's a doe that's real close, to coming into estrus that time. So that's what my goal would be.
Yep. And I will say this, this is something cold fronts, mid-October, man, I've hunted a lot of them, and I don't think cold fronts this early into it play much of a role. Man, I used to be the guy who, I read the magazine article when I was a kid, and they're just like, gotta hunt cold fronts. I hunted every cold front that came through in October, and my luck just wasn't there with it, right? It just never matched up for me. I have, though, first week of November, been in that dull, like, God, it's humid out, it's muggy, it's just gross. Big cold front comes through, boom, let's go. Like, it snapped, deer running all over the place. But coming into this week, man, cold front comes through, like it's coming through right now.
Right.
The temperature's dropped 20 degrees. The high today is only supposed to be what, 50? Or wait, what was I looking at? Oh, 67 today for us, and then high of 50 tomorrow.
Yeah, I got 52. Yep, I got 52 for tomorrow and 54 on Wednesday.
So we're talking a 20 degree drop tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So Tuesday and Wednesday this coming week, and even into Thursday, are still 10 to 15 degree drops from this. Friday, it warms up a bit, but I'm not seeing any rain in the forecast until... Ooh, I'm not seeing any rain in the forecast. I'm seeing clouds.
See, I see rain next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, potentially.
So the 27th and the 28th?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not seeing that where I'm at. And so basically what we're getting at here is, now, are you a fan of hunting before or after the front?
If you can time it. So it depends on if it's a morning or an afternoon. So I was going to say, I'll answer this question in a second. I will take this colder front, and I'm a colder front this week over a cold front last week. Okay. Cause we're 1 week closer to the rut. We're one week closer to that peak time. As far as hunting before and after, man, I have seen some amazing stuff before, and I've seen some amazing stuff after. I sat in, it was January 1 year, and it got up to about 50 degrees for high in the afternoon. And that night they predicted for about 6 inches of snow, and obviously a lot colder temperatures. I saw every deer that was in the neighborhood that night, and it was 50 degrees in January. You would have thought, it was crazy. Now I've also been in a stand where I just got in and the rain stopped within about a first half hour of me sitting there, and I've seen every deer on the property also. So, I mean, I prefer after, but because I feel like after is when the front is actually moved. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Before, I feel like there's not as much pressure, and it has to do with that. It has to do with barometric pressure. So,
yeah. I only feel like that really works in the late season, where they're feeling like a huge snow event come on, and they know, like, okay, the food could be potentially be buried. I'm going to be up on our feet before that front hits. And that's only if it's timed with an afternoon hunt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if it happens in the middle of the day or anything like that, if it comes through overnight and into the early morning, or it hits in the early morning, then that previous night just isn't going to be that good. But then post that first night after the big snow event or the big, cold front comes through, I think that's a good one too, especially if you know where the scrapes are this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to this colder temperatures and stuff and like the cold fronts in October, I think one of the things that I've always looked at is I would rather take that first week of November and have temperatures 5 to 10 degrees below mm-hmm. average temperatures mm-hmm. versus a cold front in any of the days in October. Just because you can pair that with the fact that deer are going to want to breed, so there's going to be more deer movement anyways, and they start to panic when that temperature goes down the closer we get to winter. They start to panic. They know they need to feed. They know they need to breed. So you match those two things up, and it just ends up being gold. There might be... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, there might be something to an October cold front, but I feel like it has to do more with... you know, where you're hunting, what crops are in the area. You know, if you're hunting an area that still has standing crops around you, I don't know if I'd be as excited about it. So,
right. Fact. Okay. I like that. Are you, if you were working in a factory or you had to answer to somebody, you had one of those jobs where you needed to take an afternoon off, spend 4 hours of PTO or take an entire day off to drive down to your farm and hunt an afternoon or an afternoon in the next morning. Are you spending that PTO this week?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not either. Like I said, my whitetail calendar really doesn't start for me personally until about the 25th. You know, so this coming Saturday, I'm going to start getting a little bit more excited. You know, I made it out by myself once so far this year. I've been out twice now with my kids. And so I've learned for me at my age and everything that I want to spend the first, 3 to 4 weeks of hunting season with my kids. It's warmer. Mm-hmm. It's more comfortable for them. And, you know, we don't have to be as hardcore about it. You know, we can go in and we can have fun. If we shoot a doe or we shoot a little buck, it's okay. You know, so that's what I've focused on in the last at least 3 or 4 years. So,
yep, 100%. I like that answer. For me, it has everything to do with there's better hunting yet to come.
Yes.
Right. And so I'm not saying you should not use PTO, because if you have a big buck patterned on camera and he's doing something right now, go after him now. Yeah. Don't wait. Go after him now. Use that PTO. But for me, I'm making this decision based off of just willy-nilly, right? I have no information. Like I'm going tomorrow night for one reason, and that's to put up a trail camera.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. I'm going to put up a trail camera, but I'm going to hunt while I'm in there, because it wouldn't make sense to not do it that way. But I'm not going to use any PTO to go do that stuff, right? I'm waiting until, here's what I've seen historically, and this is only on my farms. The big dogs aren't even daylighting on the areas. They're daylighting somewhere, right? Let's not twist it here. They're daylighting somewhere. But for me, in the big terrain features where I keep my trail cameras, the fence crossings, the field edges over scrapes, they're not even daylighting until the 27th or the 28th on the farm that I have.
Yep.
Okay. And I would say that the earliest I've ever seen on the farms that I've had on this one farm where the big dog steps out early is I got a couple scenarios that I'm guessing combine comes in in the first or second week of October and bumps them.
Right.
Right. Then I get them on camera. But natural movement, they're not even standing out until the 25th, standing up until the 25th. And they're taking it way easy. The big dogs, they know they can just control the herd, and they can steal any hot doe that they want whenever they want.
Yep.
And so they don't even have to put up a fight for them.
And I mean, those does, I mean, obviously they dictate the whole thing, you know? So if you know your herd and you know when there's generally a doe that comes in, I mean, I was just thinking when you're throwing out these dates, 27th, 28th, those are two awesome days I can remember in my head of shooting two particular bucks. But one day that I've heard you talk about a ton, and I know neither one of us will be able to hunt very much of for several years yet to come, is Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean, Halloween is like flipping the switch. I mean, if you haven't seen your big buck, trust me, you're going to see him either that day or the next 2 or 3 days in November there.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right, dude, I'm going to try to find this picture and I want you to tell me if I can find it. It was really windy, so I got a lot of, here she is. Here's a doe hitting a scrape.
Yep.
See her?
Yep.
What does that tell you if you get a doe hitting a scrape?
I want to show you a picture because I have the same exact thing that happened this morning at 7:10. And
yep. Is, yep.
See her heads up? The rope's right over here.
Yep. Is that a coincidence and she's just sniffing? Or does that mean that something is happening and you feel she's getting ready to come into heat?
I feel she's getting ready to come into heat. I really do. And
that's early, that's early.
Yep.
This is where observation plays a huge role in decision making.
Yes, it does. So
what's that? What are you going to do?
So this property is this big property and it's all a bunch of fingers and the whole north side of it's corn standing still. Yeah, south side's picked in beans. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple really good spots that work good for thermals and stuff by a creek and a pond. And it's possible that that's where I end up Friday. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to use this camera, this one camera, as my indicator for this entire week, which is not how I want to do it, but I don't know particular where these deer are traveling to and from at this point. So the only thing I can do is say, I want to be in and around this scrape if the wind is perfect for that day. Now I will throw the other flip side in. I have another piece that's not too far from this one. And I have a doe that is just regular. She is regular every single day, morning and night, with her twins. I feel my odds are better watching that doe than this one that just popped up this morning. Because to me, this one that popped up this morning, she might be early, but she is not anything what I'm used to on that property as far as time-wise. Is she coming into estrus?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I got, when I saw that happen, because I got other pictures of her pawing at it too.
So, okay,
I
don't have. That's what I was going to ask you. Do you feel like she is close to coming into estrus?
That's the thing. A trail camera can't tell me that really, except I'm just taking the pictures with a grain of salt, right?
Right.
Her head's up. She's interested in the smell. A buck hit that scrape earlier that morning, I believe it was in the middle of the morning. Or was it? Yeah, it was the previous morning. She came out. She smelled that scrape. She pawed in it. Now, what's interesting is if tonight or today I get a big buck on that scrape at some point, I might work my way back into the timber and try to guess on which one of these draws that he's coming out of.
Yeah.
Because they're ready to breed right now.
Right.
Right. The does just aren't ready to breed.
Well,
unless this doe is in fact coming into estrus in the 20th to 25th or, you know, yeah, in the next 5 days.
Yeah. I was going to say within the next 5 days, you're going to know whether she was hot or not, but she's also already going to be putting off some sort of scent that's going to tell him, hey, I'm close. I'm ready. And so if he shows up, I'd say you have that next 3 to 5 day window of being in and around that scrape because he's got to let her know, hey, I'm here.
Yep.
You know, so they got to meet up somewhere.
Yep. Yep. That's a fact. That's a fact. Other than that, like I still am, this is where it becomes the hardest for us. And when I mean us, I mean everybody who's listening. We know better hunting is coming. We also know that if we go in and just jump in without any care, we have the ability to potentially ruin something. And so we want to hunt. Our heart is into bow hunting. Our heart is into hunting. I mean, I don't know if the muzzleloader season is over now in Iowa. The early season muzzy is over or still going. I'd have to look at the dates. I know there's a lot of early season muzzleloaders going out, you know, the entire country right now. But the deal is like, we all know that there's better hunting to come. And I'm that guy who in the years, I learned so many lessons in that, I'll say October 17th to 25th timeframe, where I went in, I tried to set up and a buck disappeared. Mm-hmm. Or I went in, I tried to set up and it was a wrong Everything was wrong about it. Big buck got downwind of me, gone, right? In that from 2006 to 2016 timeframe where I just had no clue what I was doing. I was ruining a lot of hunts. If you're there to fill the freezer, go hunt right now. Go have fun before it gets cold, dude. Like, go do that.
I mean, if you rewind 15 to 20 years, I mean, we're sitting in that position where we just want to go. We just want to go. We just want to go. And I think for anybody that's new out there, you need to do exactly that. Because this time of year, you're going to learn a ton about it. You're going to learn how they're shifting around. You're going to learn about dominance. You're going to learn how much you're going to affect your property to there when you've had the experience of several years, 25 years or whatever it is of hunting, that, hey, better days are to come. What am I looking for in my experience? Do I just want to shoot a doe? Hey, man, go hunt every day, you know, but there is something to be said about you will educate these deer and you will push them along if you are hunting irresponsibly, I guess.
Yeah, they're bedrooms every hunt.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is where it becomes very hard. We can't tell you anything about the properties that you hunt. So you have to be able to take what we say with a grain of salt. Think about what we've talked about, because really the conversations that me and you have had today are about our own properties,
right?
And what we've seen. Take that same principles and apply it to your property and just be observant. Check your trail cameras, check the sign. Every time you go in, now is the time for me. If you're going to go in and hang a trail camera and you have to go into the timber or into the property, you might as well hunt while you're doing it.
Right.
Right. Because there's a chance. Sometimes that chance, that percentage is bigger. Sometimes it's lower, but you can, if you're going to disrupt it, you might as well be in the tree while you're disrupting it.
Absolutely.
Something comes by, bada bang, right? Yep. Right through the heart.
Yep.
So anything else that we need to touch base on this week? Because I think the next time we meet, we're going to have some stuff to talk about. And I mean, like, it's going to be like, the fuse is already lit. We're just waiting for the explosion type shit.
Yeah, I mean, next Monday is the 27th. So, I mean, that's the like kickoff of the all for me. I would just say, if we can do one thing, let's just be better at not shaming each other, you know.
I like that.
You know, let's not shame each other. There's so much hate in this world, man. Just pick your head up and be a good person. You know, that's all there is to it. Let's enjoy
it's
this.
Just a deer.
Yeah.
It's just a deer.
It's just a deer, and it's just life, man. And you get one shot at it. So just enjoy it. Share your knowledge with your friends and your family and your neighbors, and get your kids into it and just enjoy it.
Yep, that's a fact. That's a fact, my friend. Well, Jason, I got wrestling tonight. I have baseball tonight. It's baseball season. I can't believe it.
Like, it's fall baseball.
Yeah. No, fall baseball's over.
Oh.
We're now in training mode.
Oh.
Right? Between now and the time it gets warm. So November, December. So my son, he has to what do they call that? Resting the arm for the next 2 months. So sometime around December, we're going to start picking up pitching lessons again. But right now we're working on batting. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got batting, and then I'm a wrestling coach too. So I'm in the room with my boy and my daughter now. And this is where here's the other thing. I got a wrestling tournament on November 2nd and I got a wrestling tournament on November 8th. So I'll be hunting, but I'm coming out of the woods those days because this is crazy. Dan Johnson is saying this, by the way.
Yeah.
Remember old school Dan Johnson? I don't know if you know about old, fuck everything, I'm going hunting. Like, that's old school Dan Johnson, right? I apologize for the language.
Yeah.
But Dan Johnson is now choosing to go coach a wrestling tournament instead of being in the woods.
Here's
it's weird.
I mean,
it is.
I mean, we've got three tumbling tonight. We got three basketball tomorrow night. We've got a chorus band concert Wednesday night with one tumbling Wednesday. We got three basketball on Thursday. I mean, basketball games start on next Sunday. So pick your window. You know, I mean, if you got kids or you got a job, all I'm going to tell you is your better days of hunting the whitetail rut are coming. Yeah. And that's when I would put my time in.
Amen. I like that. All right, everybody. Do me a favor. Go to iTunes or Spotify. Leave a 5-star review for the How to Hunt Deer podcast. If you have any questions, hit Nine Finger Chronicles up on Instagram. And maybe if you have a topic you would like to have discussed next week, that would be awesome. We can maybe do like a little listener Q&A. Hit me up at Nine Finger Chronicles on Instagram and ask your questions there. And me and Jason will cover them. Other than that, next week is going to be all about the pre-rut, man. Yep. And how long we think it lasts, what we're going to be doing, calling, what sign means. Like the same conversations that we're having today, but just a week later, and how deer behavior changes, how the food source changes, all that stuff next week. Jason, good vibes, my friend. And we will talk to you guys next week. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.